Well, good morning. The Lord be with you all. We've had a very enjoyable morning so far already. Different things we've heard, and what God has put on my heart is just something I've been musing about for the last it's concerning the ark. And the reason I guess we went to visit the Ark Encounter. We actually saw this boat sitting up there in Ohio there. And so I like to bring sort of a, as I've been thinking and meditating on about this Ark, I'd like to bring it down to our everyday life today. And what significance does the Ark have concerning, back in the day of Noah, to the day in, what is this, October 2025. How can we apply it to this? And just a little side note too, to me it's amazing as we think of our being here, life and death. We rise up, we walk, we do our things, we go about our day, and some people don't. And I just had to think of Moses was sharing about his nephew. He got killed Tuesday morning. Well, there was another dear old saint that passed away Tuesday. She was 83, I think it was, and by the name of Vera Wagler. My wife's two older brothers are married to sisters, and this was their mom. So just backing up a little bit about her life, we were at the funeral yesterday up in Milroy, Indiana. That's where we were yesterday. And just reflections on this woman that she got married. I forget the dates. It was 60-some. They were married for about 20 years. She was an active lady. She was very, they had children. And then she was in an accident. Her whole family, not the whole family, it was Vera, her husband, and their youngest son with a load of other people. They were in a terrible van accident. Her husband got killed and her youngest son got killed. And then she ended up in a coma for 3 months. And then she snapped out of that. But that was 40-some years ago. All the rest of her life, she was bound to a wheelchair. There's some damage done in her brain that tells you to move. That was damaged, so she couldn't really move much. So for 40 years, I just think about that. If, we go about our lives, and if somebody would tell us, like, tomorrow you're going to be in an accident for another 40 years, you're going to sit in a wheelchair. And you're going to have to depend on your children to take care of you and do everything, even feed her. For 40 years, she passed on into eternity now. And she always sat there on her wheelchair like a little bit like this. And she could talk, but you really had to listen. Her speech wasn't clear. But just amazing the testimony that she left. We'd gather family gatherings. She'd be Nora's oldest brother, and his wife would take care of her a lot. So she was there quite often when we'd get together. And she'd remember all our children's names. Like, we didn't even meet together often, but she remembered them. She had a sharp memory. And often she would tell my wife, well, I can at least pray. Years of prayer. And I was blessed just we're not all perfect. The family, I'm sure, had struggles and things like that, but anyway, so that was our day yesterday. So we were reflecting on this and put her to rest there and buried her up there beside her husband of 40 years ago that he passed into eternity. But I had to think, as she walks into heaven's gates. Did you hear what I said? As she walks into heaven's gates. She's no more bound to this crippledness. She's free. She's walking. She's like one of, I think it was one of the grandsons or somebody shared at the graveyard. She said he just feels like he needs to tell us all that he can almost see grandma jumping and praising and leaping God or praising and leaping up there, just praising the Lord. So that was a good thought. But so anyway, this morning, Genesis 6, you can turn there if you want. I just had to think about this too. You know, back in six chapters, we already have the destruction of the earth. Six chapters into our Bible. Then we have the account of the ark. If I'm correct, those six chapters cover about 2,000 years. I want to be corrected if I'm wrong. So here's another thought I had. 2,000 years and six chapters. What's 52 years? Maybe one chapter? Barely? My life? I don't know. Maybe not even a half a chapter. But anyway, and the reason I say this is if you never been to the ark, I would advise you to go. I would really encourage you to go. There's just something, you know, we hear this story from childhood, the ark, you know, Noah and the flood. All the animals came into the ark, you know, and he was saved and God took him from one world into the new world. And we hear that and we come so accustomed to it. And sometimes people think of it as a fairy tale or just this little boat out on the water with a couple animals riding on top of the ark with their heads sticking out or whatever. You see those pictures and stuff. Really? I want you to go look at it. I want you to go and see the inside of this big boat. It just brought a whole new picture to me what this ark really was about. You know. And there is probably some of the things you read too there as you went through and then some of the slideshows or things they showed and everything. It just made a different picture, you know. Well, I'm going to read some and then I'm going to try to share as I go along. In chapter 6 in Genesis, starting in verse 1, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they choose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now, I don't know where they came up with the, how many years it took to build the ark, but for some reason in this verse 3 there's this sentence in there about 120 years. And I was just thinking as I read it that, you know, maybe God was telling Noah that I'll give you another 120 years and then I'll destroy the all flesh of the earth. I'm not sure quite exactly, but yet his day shall be 120 years because, you know, people back in that day, they lived a couple hundred years old. And Noah was 600 years when this thing happened, and he lived another couple hundred years afterwards. So this 120 years, it has something to do with that. I don't know. But anyway, as we were thinking about this, you know, how is it today? The sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair. How is it today? I'm talking about society, not in supposedly not in Christian churches. I mean, there's some stuff going on too in some mainstream churches that, you know, we'll just leave that. But what I'm saying is if you go out into society, what do? Men get tired of this lady. Men get tired of this girl. They just kick her out, right? They get in a fight. They divorce. And he goes looking for someone else and just on and on. I think that's the way it was back in the days of Noah. And here's Noah. I'm going to go and read here. In verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Where are we at today? What's the imagination of the thoughts and of the hearts out in the world and society? Is it only evil continually? People are always thinking of some evil, thinking up some evil thing or some doing some completely opposite from what Brother Dale was sharing on the children's lesson. And he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Can you imagine God being grieved at his own work? I had to think, you know, we go about our days and we might build something or we might do something of something constructive, and yet then all of a sudden it would grieve me. It would grieve me. I'm the maker. It would grieve me that I made this. This is where God was at. He repented him. He was sorry that he made man. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping things, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth that I have made them. It repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third story shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shalt come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Okay, so then you hear that rain for 40 days and 40 nights, right? And then the flood was over. Was it? It was exactly a little over a year later that they were finally able to open the doors and let the animals out and go out on dry land again. So Noah had to prepare, he had to save, he had to store food, all this food for all the animals to keep them alive for a year. We're used to thinking about those that have been farmers or are farmers, that we store food up in the summertime for the winter. What is it, 6 month, 5 month, 6 month, something like that. We put up hay, we put up feed and stuff for our animals and whatever for half a year maybe. This was for a year, and it wasn't just a couple cows, a couple sheep, it was, well, it says two of every kind, and then also the clean animals, there was seven of every kind. So that was quite a bit of animals in that boat. And to think that you had to store enough food away to keep it, keep those animals alive for a year. And you know, did Noah know that it was a year? I think he put extra away. I think he put extra away so that, you know, if it would go a year and a half, it would go 2 years. He was just doing what God told him, to keep these things alive. But, and the other thing about this was the wickedness of the earth. You know, I had to think, you know, they had this little slideshow going on that there was this, as Noah was building the ark and his sons, they were helping, you know, and they would come with questions. And here this two men came up, walking up to, and with this lady back, they, you know, they had it all sort of movie type thing. But it just brought reality, you know, that was probably the way it was. Is the wickedness and the evil that was out there in society. They were trying to sidetrack Noah. They would come, they said they'd come for an interview, right? So they asked him all these questions, and, you know, this supposedly it was a lady with a scribe, and then also another man with him that would draw pictures, like a, he was supposed to do a canvas thing as the lady did the interview. Well, she sat there and she asked him questions, flattering, you know. She'd flatter her eyelids and the thing and whatever. And here was Noah, you know. Here's this lady, you know, trying to sidetrack him and whatever. And he's answering these questions. That was real life. I believe it was. You know, Noah was busy with this project, but he had a lot of sidetracks. He could have been sidetracked so easily. But then as he was done with the interview, then he begged with these people. He said, don't you believe me? It's going to rain. There is going to come a flood. Ha, 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 they laughed at him. There, go take your big boat. And as they were walking away, it showed that here it thundered and lightning, and they stopped and they looked back, and you could see they were reconsidering it, but they didn't. Then they turned away and walked away. What does the ark mean to you? A big boat? God's mysterious ways? A safe haven? A tourist attraction? Just another tale? Does it mean salvation? What does it mean to you? How can we look at the ark as an example from the Old Testament to the New? Is it a symbol of Christ and his saving grace? Or should we not make a comparison between the two? Anyway, we talked a little bit about the distractions that Noah might have faced and different things, you know, as he was trying to get this thing built. And I'm sure he had people working for him. And these people, you know, as you have workers working for you, things come up and you have to settle disputes and you have to settle this and that. And, you know, how do I do this? How do I do that? Well, Noah always had to take care of that and trying to do everything else. Plus, so I'm going to go on and read in chapter 7, starting in verse 5. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. So Noah did everything God told him to. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of clean beasts and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls and of everything that creepeth upon the earth. There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. And the 600th years of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with him into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind. So it repeats itself there a little bit. And the verse 17, and the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth, and the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. So basically, 15 cubits above the highest mountain, there was water, and it floated across there. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beasts and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils with the breath of life, all that was in the dry land died. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things and the fowl of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. But then in chapter 8, verse 14, it says, and in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, was the earth dried. And God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Told him that he can go forth now. So it was a little over a year later that they were able to go out of the ark again. And just, I have a few notes here, different things I want to touch about. You know, we think of, yeah, sure, Noah and his sons, right? They were working together. They had a good family relationship, I guess. The boys, they just did as Dad said. They made sure that every nail was in place, every crack was sealed, it was pitched perfectly inside out. You know, I believe they didn't just sloppily do this work. I think they were precise about it. And I think it was because Noah walked with God, and it was a little bit like truth and lie. You know, God told me to make this boat this way. This is the way we're going to make it, boys. Let's get it done, you know. Where do you find a family like that today? Some of the things that I'm sharing are just a deep challenge to my own heart. And then take it a step further. You know, we say, oh, Noah and his sons, you know, and his wives and his sons' wives went into the ark. Did you ever think about the wives' families? Where were they in all this? These girls that left their mom and dad and joined with Noah's sons, none of their families went with them. And that would have been 4 sisters, we should say, that their families didn't want anything to do with this ark. You know, some of the things are just sort of new thoughts. You might have thought about it already. I don't know, those that have left family, friends, and relatives or whatever, but just think about that. I mean, sure, these girls came out of family somewhere, and they probably had siblings growing up with them and interacting with them, everything, yet they chose to, God told Noah to do this, come into the ark and be saved. These ladies believed this, and they took action. Might come into like a sermon for a wedding day, maybe. You think about this, you know, these girls that leave their moms and dads and decide they want to. He's thinking about Josh and Heidi coming up here in February, Lord willing. Heidi's willing to leave everything she knows there in Pennsylvania, everything she grew up with there. She's willing to leave that and come with this boy from Tennessee and make her home here in the here in Tennessee. Yeah, these Noah's sons' wives, they made that choice. They made that decision. I'm sure they loved their siblings. They loved their mom and dad. And they, I can just imagine the conversations that would have went on around the, as they met together during the day. They were, as Noah and his sons were working on this boat, and these, his wives' siblings would come by and they'd talk about this thing and what's going on. And, you know, I'm sure they would say, come on, just let him go have that thing. Come on, let's, you know, come with us. Let's go to the party. Let's go have fun, you know. That thing's just that. What'll happen with that? Does it sound familiar? Bible clearly tells us, as in the days of Noah, so is it in the days of the Son of Man. And I, basically what I'm trying to say is, like I just mentioned a couple things, is the ark something of significance that we should take an example of, or should, is it just the happening? Back then, 2,000 years, or 6,000, 4,000 years ago, this happened or whatever. Is it just something that went on or whatever? Or should it, does it have a significance of today? And, yeah. Yesterday at the, I probably won't mention this, but yesterday at the funeral service, you know, they, nothing. That's the way they do it. They start from Genesis and they touch a little bit on this and creation and this and that and the other thing. And, you know, being as I was thinking about sharing about the ark and everything, sure enough, the preacher, he shared about the ark. That was very interesting to me, his perspective and everything. But it was interesting just to, I was intrigued to hear that, what he was said about it. He had something to say with the light up on the top story and then the three different stories, but I think I'll just leave that. But anyway, I want to bring it down to our day and age today. And I think what I'm trying to, I'll just be up and honest with you right up front, is like the church today, could it be, I want to be clear. I don't want to replace the ark with Jesus. Like, Jesus should be the ark. But does the church today have anything to do, any significance connected to the ark? I want you to think. You know, I believe as Noah was building this ark, I think he was probably begging and pleading and preaching to the people. Come into the ark and be saved. There's going to be a flood. There's going to be water. It's going to be destroyed. I got blank, 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 whatever you want to put in there. I got to do this. I have this to do. I have that to do. I have this, whatever, you know, I need to do this. I can't. What do you mean? You want me to drop everything and come with you into this big boat? I got things to do. I got stuff to do. And it's as simple as walking up the, I guess it was a plank, said the door was in the side of the boat. Just walking up the ark and going in there with knowing it's nothing else. That's all you had to do. You didn't have to be wearing a certain kind of clothes. You didn't have to be doing a certain kind of job. You didn't have to be financially a certain point or poor or whatever. All you had to do is walk up that gangplank and go into the ark and you would have been saved. Sometimes we don't think, really? I mean, did people, that's such a simple thing. It's just to walk up there and go in there. How is it with today? If you would take the ark away and have Jesus Christ standing there pleading for you. oh no, I can't give up. I got my things to do. I'm not going to go to Jesus. And like Brother Moe shared about his nephew, I don't know him. I don't know where he was as far as his walk with the Lord or if he was part of the church or anything, but that morning, did he think, you know, where was his mind? Was he thinking of going to work and seeing how hard he can work? And he probably never crossed his mind that he'd be in eternity an hour later. So is it with us today. We go about our day. We go about our life. I hope we do. I mean, as Christians, our relationship with the Lord should be so that there are seasons in life that we might be really, really busy that maybe we don't always think about something, eternity, like in the mornings or wherever. But if our relationship is in tune with Christ, then we are, I believe that's like Noah. His relationship was in tune with God, but he was also in relationship with this ark, this boat he was working on. He needed to get this done. He knew he had to. And that's what his life consumed of, is to build this ark. So should our life be consumed with Jesus Christ. And the things that come out of our lives that, you know, what is it? And that, like I said earlier, this is a big challenge to myself. Because these people were going about their, it says they were, let me find that verse. I have a bunch of reference written down here, but I believe it's Matthew 24. Yeah, Matthew 24, verse 37 through 39. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And he goes on and says different parable, what shall be taking place and everything. But, you know, I don't believe it's like wrong to, I'm not saying it's wrong to get married and everything like that, because Nora and I did it 31 years ago. But it was just, I think it was saying that life was just going on as normal, as usual. People were getting married. They were, you know, had marriages and they were doing jobs. They were buying land. They were working away, everything like that. But none of them, you know, except Noah and his sons and their wives, they were the only ones that were concerned about this boat and everything. But all the rest of the people, they were just going about their everyday things and just doing things that they were used to and whatever. And then all of a sudden it started raining. But it was way too late for them. And so it is today, in today's world. Instead of all of a sudden rain coming down from heaven and flooding the earth, it's Jesus or God in heaven saying, it's time to go bring him home. It's time to go bring her home. It's time to end the life there. And he has that all in his control. And it takes us, you know, might take us by surprise. It's just different things like that I want you to be thinking about. Are we ready when the floodgates open and the waters come? It says the fountains of the deep were opened and it rained from heaven. And I can imagine, I was just thinking about this, you know, we have rain here. If it rains for 5 days straight without stopping, maybe not even 5 days, 2 days, 3 days, these creeks start rising and you see the results pretty soon. And I had to think about this, you know, if the fountains of the deep would have broken up yet, how quick would the earth been flooded? I don't know how quick it would have been. But it says they're back, I think it says 7 days yet, and then he's going to send the rain. So even there, the people had another chance. That I'm sure Noah transferred that to the people and told them 7 more days and then the rain's going to come. But now they were too busy. So what was their job on the boat for a year? What's our job in the church? Let your mind wander a little. Tomorrow we're going to enter the ark. Are you coming or not? What do you have going? As the days of Noah were, so shall it be when the Son of Man comes. Are you ready? Am I ready? Do you wonder why not more people are interested in holiness or living for Jesus? How often did Noah warn the people? How often have you been warned? Or some concern shared about where you are, what you do, where you are in your spiritual life? What do you do with it? Matthew 11, verse 28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What does that have to do with the ark that I was sharing about? Well, they said they built this ark up there in Ohio to the replica of what they thought the original was. And the gangplank that goes up beside the ark, into the ark, is not very steep. It's a pretty gradual climb, right? Most of us could easily walk up that. I think most of the people back in those days, they could have easily walked up that ramp and went into the door, right? Here's Jesus saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." All we have to do is surrender. Take the yoke upon yourself with Jesus. He's meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. It would have been so easy to walk up that plank and go in there and, you know, you would have been safe. You would have been secure. You had no worries. Nothing. You did what Noah was asking you to do. Come into the ark. Now you're inside. Now you're safe. Now you're protected. Come to Jesus. He wants you to come to him, and he wants you to yoke up with him, and he'll do the same with you. He'll keep you safe. He'll protect you. And you don't have to worry about all the worry is not having rest in your soul. And it's work. If you can come to the place where you have perfect peace in your heart, perfect rest in Jesus Christ, it's a blessing. It's like being inside the ark. The storm outside, I'm sure, was tremendous. If you just think about water coming from above and coming from beneath, I mean, the current and everything that was rushing around, there was no way people could have survived trying to swim through that. And then this big boat just all of a sudden lifts up and starts floating. Everything's safe in there. Everything's secure. How is it with us and with our Lord? I do believe there is a comparison between the ark and today's world. All you have to do is walk up the ramp and go in. All you have to do is give up your selfish ways and confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. But so hard. I want my way. I want my way. I want my way, not your way, Lord. Keeps you from walking up the ramp and entering in. And then also, as I was studying about the ark, you know, why did God, we go further into the Old Testament after the flood, when Moses was leading the children of Israel. Here, all of a sudden, we have this Ark of the Covenant. Here we have another word, the ark. Are the Ten Commandments. God also gave instructions how to build it. He also told Moses how to build the ark, you know, the Ark of the Covenant. You know, he gave him specific instructions that it should be this high, it should be this wide, everything like that. And therein they put the Ten Commandments. It was kept in the tabernacle for the most part until it was carried into battle once, but it came back, or God brought it back in a miraculous way. And that was, you know, the Ark of the Covenant. I don't know, the people probably, just like the serpent that was lifted up in the wilderness, they made an idol out of it. That serpent that Moses put on a pole up there when the children of Israel were being bit by snakes, all they had to do was look up to it, and they were healed. Well, it became an idol to them. And I was wondering when Eli, the priest Eli, was in the temple and everything, and then this Ark of the Covenant and Ten Commandments, was it his boys took it out to battle? They thought God was going to be with us. He's going to win. If this thing here, this Ten Commandments, this Ark of the Covenant, if we carry that thing into the battle, God's going to surely be on our side. He's going to win the battle for us. Well, what happened, they were defeated. And the Philistines took this Ark of the Covenant, the Ten Commandments. You think God was up in heaven just looking the other way? Not concerned what's happening there? I don't think so. I mean, the Philistines, it didn't take them long. They were like, we got to get this thing out of here. It's causing very much discomforts and whatever, and all the men and everything, and this thing is sacred. We got to get it out of here. Well, what happened when they put it on a cart and put two oxen in there that had calves? These oxen, you know how a cow does if her calf's around. She doesn't want to leave too far. She wants to stay with her calf. These oxen took off back towards the children of Israel with this. That's how jealous God was of this. He took care of that. So what I'm getting at is the Old Testament was given in the children of Israel going through the wilderness, the Ten Commandments there. It was stored in the Ark of the Covenant. Years before that, there was an ark, a big boat. It saved Noah and his family. Now the children of Israel, these Ten Commandments, what I think what it was, here's some of the thoughts I had. Yeah, just reading here a little bit. And a little bit maybe like Jeremy was sharing the other last Sunday evening about, as you go about your life and you go to different places, you go to different congregations and you see different people, if you're alert, if you're awake and you realize what's going on around you, you observe a lot of different things, right? So, I stand to be corrected, Brother Dale, if this is wrong, but I mentioned earlier, is the ark, the one that Noah built, does that have a reference to the church? Some people literally take it probably and say that it does. Like, okay, you do this, you do that, and we heard a little bit Wednesday night. I can do all the right things. I have everything right. Then I'm safe inside that ark, right? Because I told you earlier, all you have to do is walk up the ramp and go in the door. You're safe. You're protected. I had to think about it for generations and generations and generations. One generation comes, the other generation goes. And we still practice the same things. We still say the same things. We have our sermons spaced out every Sunday. We just take turns. We do this Sunday. We do that this Sunday. We do that Sunday. We wear these clothes. We wear this type of material. We dress this certain way. We do this. We don't do that. We do this. You're safe, right? You're protected. You're floating on the water. God's watching over you. Right? You don't think so? See, I think that's the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the New Testament today, if we make sure, like Dale was sharing Wednesday night, I agreed so much with you, I can do everything right. Like I can look right, I can dress right, I can say the right words, I can say the right, do the right motions. Everything is just right. It looks like a Christian. Does that make me a Christian? My heart can be as wicked can be. And I think that's where Jesus, he is the ark now, in the day we're in. Christ came, we heard those beautiful songs this morning. He freed us, he came, he gave his life. Now Jesus is our ark. And if we abide in that ark, God is working on the inside. And what's on the inside will come out and manifest itself on the outside. And to some people, it looks really hard that. They just think, how can that be? God says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We can have joy. And as I was thinking about Noah and his sons in there in the boat for a year taking care of these animals, you know, how many in today's age, how many families can be together one day and just have a good old time, enjoying each other and just blessing each other and just having fun? You put them in an ark, in a boat, in a ship for a year. Oh, Lord. Ay, ay, ay. Some of us can't have a weekend together, let alone a year. But here they were in this ship, in this ark, taking care of these animals, you know. I don't know how they kept track of time, if it was, well, it was probably, yeah, there was a window in the ark, so it would have been light, and it would have got dark, and then night and day, night and day. But for a whole year, you know, I don't think they were just sitting in there, twiddling their thumbs. And trying to figure out, what's my brother doing over there? You know, I don't think he should be doing that. They were busy. So it is with today's world in the church. Like we heard about the talents. Let's bless the sisters and brothers and recognize those talents that they have and encourage them and let them flourish. And they'll be busy feeding the animals. They'll be busy taking care of this. They'll be busy doing the lowliest of things, you know. What happened with all the dung and everything from the animals and everything? Somebody had to take care of all that stinky stuff. And, you know, just think about that. It's like some of the things in church are a little bit, they sometimes let out an aroma sometimes that aren't quite as nice. Who's doing, taking care of all that stuff? You know, that's what, I believe they were busy in there. They were just, and they did it with, they were having so much fun just doing what they were enjoying doing that they just, I believe they just had a real blessing together. I don't know. That's my thoughts. I didn't find any script anywhere that said about how many fights they got into or anything like that. But there was a lot of animals to take care of. And every day, you know, they had to be fed, they had to be watered, they had the stalls had to be cleaned out, whatever, you know. I don't think they had time to mess around. So that's what I'm saying. And if we're in Christ Jesus and Christ gives us talents and we just practice those talents and we bless each other where we're at, what you're doing, and just encourage each other with that, it can be a resemblance of the ark. People can actually look at Grace Christian Fellowship or wherever you come from, whatever church you're from, and they say, wow, there's something going on in there. We want to be part of that. You know, and there's a longing to go there. It's not just this, huh, what do they think they're doing? I'm doing my own thing. Lord, help us in that. I mentioned about all the do's and don'ts. Everything's right. Everything's perfect. Now you're protected. You're safe. There's a whole lot more we could say about that. The challenge that I was thinking of what went through my mind too was as I was meditating on this and everything, each father in the congregation, each young man that starts out, you actually have an ark that you're building. Is your home, is my home, is it an ark of safety? Can my children come there? Can they just feel safe there? Can they feel protected? Can they feel that they're in the will of God? And I had to think of all these homes scattered across the U.S. Is each one an ark of safety for their family? And if that's in a place, if that's in order, then the church is just so much more a blessing that they can just work together. Oh, touching a little bit on the Ark of the Covenant and the Ten Commandments. I do believe that back in the day, that was before Christ came, that God actually told them that if you do my commandments, if you do this, you do this, you do this, I will bless you and prosper you. And I was thinking the children of Israel's Ark was the Ten Commandments, I believe. Does that make sense? They did what God gave Moses these Ten Commandments for a reason. He didn't take 40 days on the mountain, write something in stone just to be whatever, through and out or whatever. He gave it for the children of Israel at that time, that if that was like their ark, he wanted them to be a peculiar people, separated from the other people around them. And if they obeyed those Ten Commandments and did what Christ wanted them or God wanted them to do, his blessing rested upon them. And I'm just going to close here with, as I was thinking about that, you know, they didn't, the children of Israel didn't always do that. You can just, if you read through the Old Testament, you know, whenever they forsook God, they decided, that's enough. I don't need to listen to what God said. There was a curse upon them. They were defeated in war, and they became servants to other nations and just scattered across whatever. And when Jesus came to fulfill the law, he often said that I came not to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. And I believe that's our ark today. Is we have to have Jesus in our lives and be walking with him, and that's our safe ark, our covenant. And so, what's the difference between now and the children of Israel? If we just obey the Ten Commandments, we're fine. Well, it's because different songs that we sang this morning, what Christ came and he actually gave his life so that he can fulfill the whole law, the whole Bible, fulfill that. And then by his Spirit, we can come through Christ Jesus. And so I just want to, as I was saying a little bit earlier about all the do's and don'ts and everything, I'm not just, you know, get me, I'm not just saying, whoosh, we don't do anything like that anymore. I'm not saying that. It's saying what for Spirit comes out of it. Why do we do it? Why do we always? And that brought me back to Galatians 5. I'll close with this. Let's take the whole word of God and live by it. That is your ark, my ark. You will be safe. When the storms come, when temptations round about you hoover, cry out to God. He will keep you in his ark. And then we go to Galatians 5:19-26. You're all very familiar with that. Here's the difference. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And that has been true through the ages, ever since Noah and the flood, ever since the children of Israel, ever since the New Testament time. It's God's word. We can't get around it. It's the truth. If we're involved with any of those things, let's get rid of them. Go on, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, this is the Spirit of Jesus Christ that comes out, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There's no end. You can have as much as you want from that through the Spirit of Christ. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. What a world we would live in if everybody would practice that last verse. It would be a complete different world that we live in today. But I believe that was a difference ever since creation, is you're either the works of the flesh, God cannot have that. The works of the fruit of the Spirit, that's all God has. He wants to give out more of that. He just wants to, there's no end to that. That's the difference throughout all ages. And so I hope I wasn't too confusing today, but that was just some of the thoughts I was thinking about the last while, and how can I apply that to this day and age? How can the church learn from that or take examples from that? How can we be a safe haven for our youth, our next generation, for the ones that are here? How can we have something that'll sustain us, that'll keep going from one generation to the next until Christ makes an end to the world? Because I was thinking, there's different things happening that I hear about here, there, wherever, whatever. Changes being made. This church is not working. We're moving somewhere else. We're going to try this. Some say, we're going to go guns hove. Nix weiterstuft. They're being honest. You know, they just want to go out in the world. They're tired of religions or whatever. They're just being honest. And I was thinking about this. What do we have? What do we have here that will sustain us from generation to generation to generation? It needs to be Christ Jesus, centered around that. And with that comes the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy. God bless you all.